Greetings and welcome to Legally Uncensored. It is your host, Demetria L. Graves, Certified Family Law Specialist in the Pasadena area. If you're not too familiar, Pasadena is near Los Angeles in Los Angeles County, most commonly known for the Rose Bowl. So I want to take a minute and thank you all that have been listening over the last couple of weeks. I have received calls that some of you are listening and you appreciate the content I provide to assist you. So I'm happy that you told me, because sometimes I do wonder if people are actually listening. So thank you so much. And please don't hesitate to contact me and let me know if there's a specific topic that you want me to cover. That actually helps me as well. So I know what you all want to hear. So thank you for that. And for those of you watching me on YouTube, please ignore the headphones as I am also live recording my podcast. So with all of that said, this time around, I wanted to discuss the topic of prenups. So the topic of the show today is to prenup or not to prenup. Why? I've seen a lot lately about Dr. Dre and his potential prenup and the fights they're having with their prenup. Kelly Clarkson with her prenup, and a lot of questions surrounding if there is a prenup, why is she paying spousal support? And we'll talk about what's included in a prenup and what is not included in a prenup. And when I thought about the topic, I started to brainstorm about why some people may ignore prenups, because I think there's a big misconception that prenups are only for quote unquote rich people or celebrities or that sort of thing. So I wanted to talk about what exactly a prenup was, what you should consider when you're getting married, in deciding if this is for you or not for you. But a lot of the process essentially is a way for the parties to have, you know, some tough discussions about what happens if the relationship doesn't succeed. And a lot of people say, well, that's supporting a breakup or anticipating that it will be a breakup. And I disagree. I think we plan for everything in our lives, right? You even plan to get married. You plan to go to school. You plan to get a driver's license. There's all these things that you have to plan to do. So I think it's just a good way to have a conversation about what happens should this come about. And it takes out some of the uncertainty once you do have to get a divorce, or if that unfortunately is the end of the relationship. So I think it's a good way to more or less have a conversation. And you might decide that it's not for you, but at least you would have had the conversation, learn a little bit more about your partner in terms of what you're thinking, how you view the end of a relationship versus how your partner views the end of a relationship. So for starters, what is a prenup? So a prenup is a contract between two able-bodied people that can contract that does just what I described. It tells the other party, or you agree together on what will happen with certain assets and certain debts in the unfortunate circumstance that your relationship ends. There are certain things, of course, it has to be legal. And there are certain things that do not, and the court will not recognize in such contracts, such as alleviating or getting rid of child support or things around the children. The courts highly frown around that. And then there's specific terms around spousal support that may cause some red flags that we'll also talk about. So the contract is effective at marriage. So if you never get married, the contract does not succeed that. And it's effective at marriage because once you get married, the standard of care between the parties clearly drastically goes up, right? So there's certain things you can do while you're single that you can't do while you're married. I don't want to get too technical, but that's what it is. It's a contract between two able-bodied persons that say this is kind of what's going to happen to our assets, to our debts, in the unfortunate circumstance that we do not make it. Can you change your prenup after you're married? Yes, but it becomes a different form of a legal contract. And to just keep things simple for our discussion, we're just going to talk about the prenup. So I know a lot of you might be asking, why is this for me, right? I have a great job. I might have a pension, might own a property or two, but why do I need a prenup? Well, let's talk about it, okay? So a lot of people say, well, it's only for the rich. Well, from my experience, I don't think that that is true. I think it's for individuals that have, you know, property or businesses or something that they want to ensure they know what's going to happen if they get married and then once they get divorced, right? So I'll use myself for an example. I own my law firm. I've owned my law firm for just about almost 18 years. So if I got married, I would want to know my spouse's expectations in terms of, is he, because the default is once you get married, my labor into my business can be considered community property. So by way of marriage, my spouse might begin to have an interest, small as it may be, in my business, right? So instead of putting our heads in the sand, I would want to know, do you think you are entitled to have an interest in my business in the event that we get a divorce? Are we on the same page that my business will stay my business since I've had it before marriage and I basically did a lot of the legwork in the business prior to marriage? So just in this really, really small example, we can see how it can get kind of fuzzy, or there's a gray area there in terms of what my expectations may or may not be versus what my husband's expectations may or may be, right? And then even if we're cordial and he says, no, it's all yours, we all know once the parties are at the divorce process, a lot of times people don't play nice. So instead of just assuming, yes, my husband understands this is my business, I work so hard in it, let's just contract, right? Let's just put it down in writing so we all know what the expectation is. So when the time comes, I'm not saying, you said this, and he's not saying, oh, no, I didn't. It's already written down. It's an agreement. We know what it is, right? So, you know, I think I do okay financially, but I'm not Kelly Clarkson. I'm not Dr. Dre. So this is how it can impact the everyday person, such as you and I, right? So definitely something to consider, especially if you have a business. And I've also seen it in circumstances where one of the parties were previously married and understands the divorce process can be extremely uncertain. So the prenup was a way for them to feel comfortable with going through the process because both couples understood what their expectations were. I've also seen it happen when there's disparity in income, not, you know, like Kelly Clarkson and her husband or Dr. Dre and his wife, but, you know, maybe one of the parties is going to stay home. One of the parties is making pretty decent money. And it's not just, oh, I'm making all the money, I'm going to keep all my money. It's, you know, I'm making the money and you're staying home. So how do we bridge that gap in the event that our marriage is not successful? So that way, the party that's staying home and kind of taking care of the home doesn't feel completely blindsided or gets blindsided in the event of the divorce. And then the party that's working doesn't feel the same way. So again, it's a way to bring issues to the table to discuss what both parties may be thinking, but haven't quite expressed to the other party. I've also seen it in real estate where one party might have a family that has real estate businesses, owns a lot of real estate, and parents might be gifting real estate or something along those lines. So it's a way, again, to have the conversation about, okay, if my parents give me this property, what are your expectations? Because a lot of times what happens is one party will receive a residence from a parent, but then the other party would come back and say, no, 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 your parents gave it to both of us, right? So again, a prenup is a way to address those gray areas, to discuss both of your expectations and get rid of some of that uncertainty at the time of the divorce. And as the example that I provided to you about my business, this happens when couples come together and they both have businesses, or one party has a business, or one party wants to start a business. Again, it's a great idea to put it all on the table and discuss expectations. And then along the lines of what I said from someone that might have had a previous marriage, it's a great way for parties to just talk about, you know, we want to stay together forever. I really, really love you. I mean everything about to death do us part and all that great stuff. But let's talk about, you know, if I'm going to move out or you're going to move out, if we get a divorce, are we going to keep our residence? Are we going to buy property together? Do you want spousal support? Will you need spousal support? Just to have the discussion. And as I mentioned, it doesn't, the two of you might have a talk and say, you know what? I don't think we need a prenup because we're going to buy everything together and all of that. But it's great to have the discussion. What I just want you to start thinking about is it's just not for celebrities. It's just not for million and billionaires, right? It's for all of us as well to talk about our property and our assets and our savings account and our pensions and that sort of thing. So I think a lot of people also avoid it because they think it's really expensive, right? To hire attorneys and draft, and it's just expensive in time as well, right? Getting all your assets and your debts and all of that together. But again, that way everyone knows it's on the table, and you can have a legal expert tell you, okay, these are the pros, these are the cons for you. And so I think it can be a worthy investment in terms of knowing what's on the line, and then ultimately making a decision. And I think it's important that both sides, and we'll talk about this a little later as we talk about what is required to do a prenup, but I think it's very important that both sides have counsel. I think it's extremely one-sided and unfair if one party has a lawyer and the other doesn't, and then you get into problems down the line. So I think that's important to do. And then a lot of people say that prenups are biased to the party that has, you know, more money. But as I mentioned before, it's a way for the party that may not have as many financial resources to make sure that they're contracting in a way that they feel comfortable with whatever they may receive or not receive should the relationship end. And then a lot of people say that it's rarely enforced, that at the time of divorce, people spend a lot of money challenging a prenup. And I'm here to say, if it's done right, the courts will uphold a prenup, right? So we see Dr. Dre and his wife spending a lot of time and fighting the prenup. Kelly Clarkson's prenup, on the other hand, was upheld, right? So they are effective. And I'm not saying Dr. Dre's was not done properly, but they're having a discussion about it. And if it's upheld, then I'm sure his wife is probably not going to be a happy camper. But there are some things that we saw in Kelly Clarkson's prenup that the parties can't contract around, which is temporary spousal support. So when you get divorced, there's temporary spousal support that the parties, one party might request until the divorce is final. And in this case, it appears Kelly Clarkson's husband did that. And then, of course, there is permanent spousal support. So there may be a reason here for Kelly Clarkson's husband to drag out the process a little more so he can receive that support. Not saying that's what he's doing, but I can understand why that might be a tactic. But then the prenup, I'm pretty sure I haven't seen it, but I can only imagine that it dictates the amount of spousal support for the long duration after the temporary support, and then, of course, the amount. And so that's what a prenup allows parties to do. As long as it's legal, you can contract around permanent support, how much the other party will receive, and then again for the duration of time. And this really becomes important, at least here in California. Marriages over 10 years are considered long-term. So the court doesn't necessarily have to have an end date. When you're married under 10 years, the standard, if you don't have a prenup, is half the length of the marriage. So if you're married 5 years, it's presumptively 2.5 years is the jurisdiction or the time that the other party can get support. So as you see, there are so many moving factors, so many for couples to discuss, and we see it play out all the time in everyday cases, but just something to think about if you're considering marriage again. So how do you even get a prenup? What are the steps to get a prenup? There's been a lot of upgrades to prenups, starting back with there's a lot of cases. And if you Google Barry Bonds, there's a lot of changes around that time, around how prenups should be handled, the time that parties have to do their prenups, having what we call independent counsel review the prenups. So I'll just give you a couple of what I feel tips based on myself, my experiences, watching what's going on right now in the media, and just understanding and reviewing the evolution of prenups. I think it is extremely important. There are some cases in family law where, you know, you may or may not need a experienced family law attorney, but this is not one of them. You must get someone or hire someone that is experienced in prenups and understands the code, understands the waiting periods, understands the disclosures, understands everything that is pertinent to have a clean prenup and a prenup that can withstand a possible challenge when it becomes important. And this is why a lot of attorneys don't draft prenups, because your liability, if you may, is challenged when the parties get divorced. So that can be 5, 10, 15 years from the time that the prenup is challenged. And so it's important to get someone who is, one, experienced, understands all the guidelines, and won't, you know, rush you through right before wedding day. That's really important. I think it's also important, as I mentioned earlier, that both sides have an attorney. Yes, it might be a little costly, and not an attorney that's in the same office as the attorney that's drafting the prenup. I think it's important to have independent counsel for both sides who are both experienced and understand the process. So, you know, both parties are aware of their agreements and everything that is on the table, and they can sign it if that's what the parties decide to do, feeling comfortable that they understand what's to come. Another big area that I've seen changing throughout the years is that the parties video the final signing of all of the documents. Why do you think they would do that? Is because you can get a sense of the parties to make sure everyone is in their right mind. Do the parties look like, you know, distressed or something along those lines? But it also gives the attorneys an opportunity to put on camera, you know, the fact that they have advised their client, the fact that their client is aware of everything that's in the prenup, give their client an opportunity to ask questions on video, and puts everything on the camera. So should the prenup be challenged, you have that to go back to and say, no, you know, you were aware, all of our assets were here, this is what we decided to do, it's on camera. So the courts down the line, like I said, 5, 10, 15 years from now, will have an opportunity to review how the parties felt at the time of signing the prenup. And as I mentioned, it's important to follow the deadlines, right? That no longer do the courts want you to sign the day you're getting married, make sure it's done ahead of time. Don't wait. Get it all done. So no one can come back and say, oh, you know, I felt pressured. I signed the morning of our wedding. Make sure everything is done according to the code. And as I mentioned, you know, things will change. If you get married and 5 years down the line, something comes up that the two of you want to discuss, you can have stipulations in the prenup that either you will review it, when you will review it, if there's a circumstance that happens that will cause you to review it, that's something you can discuss. And we don't want situations, and again, I'm trying to keep this listener friendly as possible. So I don't want to get into the very, very technical parts of a prenup, but nothing can be included after you get married that might promote divorce. Like if you cheat on me tomorrow, you don't get anything we talked about. So you have to make sure you talk to your attorney before you start making the changes, but you can have discussions about your prenup after it's done. You can change it. You can even draft an agreement while you're married, but that becomes what we call a post-nuptial. And again, I don't want to get too technical. So the bottom line is, yes, you can continue to have discussions about it. It can be modified. Some of the conditions to do that might be different, but yes, you can have that done. And so the purpose today was I wanted you all to consider the possibility of a prenup if you are considering marriage. You don't have to have one. I'm not saying that I think everyone should go out and get a prenup tomorrow, but I think even if you don't, you would have very important discussions with your significant other about things that maybe the two of you haven't yet discussed around finances, business, sometimes even credit, and just overall both of your expectations in terms of what's to come or not to come. And I don't think that this is promoting a demise of a relationship or anticipating the demise of the relationship. But I just believe, just like anything else, we plan around, it's just important to have the tough conversations. And sometimes having the tough conversations will actually prevent the demise based on some of these issues, right? Because a lot of times it appears divorce is a lot of misunderstanding, or the inability or unwillingness of the parties to have the tough discussions and kind of work through some of those things. So this is an opportunity to do it ahead of time before you even get there and have mechanisms in place that if, you know, some of these issues arise during the marriage, this is how we're going to handle it. So it gives the parties a great space to have the discussion with themselves, with counsel, with, you know, trusted advisors. And so if nothing else, I encourage you to have the conversation just so you know, and ultimately you learn more about your partner. So that's always a great thing. And so I'm going to definitely continue to see what happens with Kelly Clarkson and Dr. Dre and see how those play out. But now when you are watching along as well in the media, you can kind of start thinking about some of these things and see what happens with Dr. Dre's prenup in terms of if it's going to be upheld or not, or see what restrictions were applied in Kelly Clarkson's prenup that would not have been applied had she not had one. And then just another quick note, I see that a lot of men don't really hesitate to discuss prenups and have a prenup, but I think a lot of women are sometimes afraid to do so, or don't think they should, or maybe just afraid to do so. But I think we all, men and women, should be having the hard conversations. And it's okay to say, hey, I want to protect my business. Hey, I want to protect this property that's been in my family for 100 years, whatever it may be, 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, whatever it is. So I think women have to be comfortable with, you know, being okay with bringing up the topic of a prenup. So I really hope you learned something from the conversation. I hope you feel informed. And if this applies to you, to make sure that you have this discussion and don't be afraid to talk about finances and debt and all of that fun stuff when you start merging households. So again, I am Demetria Graves. I can be found on all social media platforms, Demetria L. Graves. You can also email me, Demetria@GravesLawFirmCA.com. Demetria@GravesLawFirmCA. If you want to propose a topic or you have a question or a comment, I do read them. And I again appreciate you so much for listening and or watching. And until next time.